And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Eleanor, for reading so beautifully. Thank you so much. And thank you to Alison for leading the children's moment and the choir too. We're very grateful to her and to Pastor Lee for playing the piano. Thank you. And thank you to Chu for leading us in our prayer time. Each Advent is an invitation to see more clearly, to see more brightly what Christmas is truly about. Imagine a diamond. Advent is like a diamond with each facet revealing something different, something glorious, so that when we reach Christmas Eve, with all four of our candles lit, only one thing remains, and that's to welcome Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is symbolized by the white candle at the center. It's called the Christ candle. The first candle, the one we lit 2 weeks ago, reminds us that Advent is about hope. As Christians, we have every reason to hope. Jesus is the hope of the world. He will come again, and we look forward to that day. The struggle that we experience now, the difficulties that we experience now, are overcome because we know Christ is risen and Christ will come again. His resurrection anticipates the end of the age when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. It's no surprise then that we sing in a little town of Bethlehem, "The hopes and fears of all these years are met in thee tonight." The second candle reminds us of peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. The peace that he gives is not a temporary or a fragile peace. The peace he gives is peace with God, something that the world cannot offer. You know Jesus' words from John 14, 27, where he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." And we know that at the cross, Jesus' death for our sin brought us peace with God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Today's candle is different from the others. The others are all purple, except, of course, the Christ candle. But today's is pink. Purple is the color of royalty, and of course, Jesus is king. But pink reminds us of joy. It's a lighter color than purple. And so this Sunday, the candle reminds us that Jesus is our joy. The pink candle is also called the shepherd's candle. As we've had read to us, it was the shepherds to whom the angel announced good news of great joy. Is Christmas joyful for you? For some it is. For some of us it is not. But my hope is that this morning, as we look at these shepherds, as we think of their story, that the Lord will show us how their joy helps us express our joy in Jesus. In the first century, shepherds were the forgotten. They were the disreputable. They were the contemptible. They were dirty, living outside with their smelly sheep. Some of them were thieves, supplementing their very meager income by stealing. And they were religious outcasts. Their job was 24/7, which of course meant that they worked on the Sabbath, and that was considered illegal, unlawful, according to Jewish regulations. So most people, including especially religious leaders, had every reason to treat shepherds with suspicion, and they were considered untrustworthy. And yet it is to shepherds that the angel declares, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, Christ the Lord. Of all people, it's shepherds who are the first to hear of Jesus' birth. And they're filled with joy. They glorify and praise God, as the last verse in our Bible reading this morning says. So how does their joy help us express our Christmas joy? I want to start at the end of this passage this morning and work our way backwards and ask ourselves first a question. What do we naturally do when we hear good news? We share it. Hardly a day goes by when one of my friends is posting something to announce on Facebook. It might be an anniversary announcement. It might be the celebration of a child's school success. It might be a book that they've read. It might be a photo of a glorious vacation. But they want to announce it. When we hear good news, we cannot keep quiet. We want to share it. This is exactly what the shepherds do. In Luke chapter 2, verse 17, it says that the shepherds spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. It's staggering. These are uneducated, irreligious misfits, and they cannot but tell others the good news. And do you know why? Well, think about what it is that they're announcing. Do they spread the word that they've met angels? Do they spread the word that they have had an amazing spiritual experience late at night in a field? No. Seeing angels and choirs isn't what matters to them. Luke chapter 2, verse 17 begins with the key phrase, when they had seen him, Jesus. Then they go out and spread the news. They share good news because what matters is one unshakable truth. They've met Jesus. What's that got to do with joy? Joseph Haydn was one of the most famous 18th century Austrian composers. He was a friend of Mozart. He was a tutor of Beethoven. And for much of his career, he was the most celebrated composer in Europe, He was sometimes referred to as the father of the symphony. But he also wrote church music. And one day he was asked why his church music was so cheerful and so uplifting. And this is what he said in reply. "When I think upon God, my heart is so full of joy that the notes dance and leap, as it were, from my pen. And since God has given me a cheerful heart, it will be pardoned me that I serve him with a cheerful spirit." Like notes dancing and leaping from Haydn's pen because of his joy in the Lord, so the gospel dances and leaps from our lips and lives because we have met Jesus. It's what we're created for. It's why God made you and me, to declare the praises of Jesus. In his very popular book, The Purpose-Driven Church, the American pastor and leader Rick Warren wrote this. He said, "There are two things that we can do on earth that we cannot do in heaven. Sin and share Jesus." And then Rick Warren asks this question. "Which of these two do you think God wants us to do?" Share Jesus. Here, now, he wants us to share Jesus. Our joy in the Lord is quickened, excited, when we ask God to show us what we can do to bring someone another step closer to Jesus. May we pray, "Lord, today, help me to be a channel for your grace in my school, with my work colleagues, with my neighbors, among my friends, in my family. May my life today make a difference in someone else's journey towards you." That's a good prayer to pray at this time of year. What else fills the shepherds with joy? Let's go back a few more verses. When the shepherds have heard the angel's announcement, what's their response? Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 15. They turn to one another and effectively they say, "We've got to see this." They respond in excited obedience. What does that mean? Well, when I was a child, we had nativity plays at school. Children dressed up as Mary and Joseph, the innkeeper. That was always the most popular part, I think. Being able to say, "No room." King Herod, the wise men, and the shepherds. And those who did not get those parts got the non-speaking roles. The cows, the donkeys, and the sheep. When the shepherds appeared in the nativity plays that I used to see as a child, they always had their sheep with them. And I grew up believing that the shepherds brought sheep with them to see Jesus. Do you think the same thing too? Well, look at Luke chapter 2, verse 16. It says that the shepherds hurried off. If you've ever watched shepherds with their sheep, they do not hurry. Sheep are easily startled. They can easily scatter if startled. Shepherds stroll, guiding their sheep. I think the shepherds in Luke chapter 2 were in such a hurry that they left their sheep in the field in the middle of the night. They responded to the good news with excited obedience, and for them, excited obedience meant leaving their sheep. In other words, Jesus became the chief focus of their lives, and everything else took second place. You see, here's the second thing that I think fills us with the Lord's joy at Christmas. Joy is the inevitable byproduct of obedience. As we follow the Lord in obedience, we find joy. It doesn't mean that what we have to do is easy, but we know a deep joy inside as we say, yes, Lord, I will do as you say. So what step of obedience is the Lord calling you to, calling me to this Christmas? Maybe it's to share Jesus with a family member. Maybe it's to say no to that Boxing Day deal. Maybe it's to give more generously in the offering. Maybe it's to put a relationship right. Maybe it's to have daily devotions. Maybe it's to step forward in leadership. Maybe it's to stop doing something and spend more time with your children or your family or your grandchildren. Maybe it's to bless and pray for those that you might struggle with. Maybe it's to encourage someone. Maybe it's to reach out to someone in need. Whatever God calls you to do, whatever God calls me to do, there's a simple response. Do it. Do it. The shepherds heard this announcement of great joy, and without a second thought, they responded in excited obedience. But there's one more point. Imagine you're an angel in God's royal court. You watch as Mary and Joseph are told that Mary will bear a child, the Son of God. And you cheer and you celebrate because God's plan to save the world is about to take place. And when the Savior of the world is born, you're thrilled and you're overjoyed. But then you cannot believe what you are seeing. You watch in horror as God turns his attention to a group of despicable shepherds encamped with their sheep in a field. And you want to blurt out, surely God is not going to tell them the amazing news. Surely he will announce the birth of Jesus to politicians, to academics, to celebrities, to the wealthy, to the powerful, the people who can make a difference, the people with influence. And you wonder, God, have you just gone nuts? But before you can say anything, an angel appears to the shepherds and declares, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. You see, we are so used to the story that we forget how shocking Luke chapter 2, verse 8 would have been to first century ears. Suddenly the story turns from the wonder of a newborn king to dirty, untrusted religious outcasts, shepherds. It's as if today Jesus were born in a homeless shelter on the downtown east side, and the first people to hear the good news are the drug addicts camped in store doorways. That's the shock of this. No one would ever expect God to announce his love to shepherds. But he does. And I'm sure the shepherds themselves never imagined that God would announce his love to them. But he does. This is the gospel on display. Jesus came not just for the wealthy or the wise or the well-known. They're the kind of people that we think deserve salvation. He came for everyone. He came for you. Please understand that this is one of the central truths of Christianity. Just listen to what the Apostle Paul, an early follower of Jesus, said to a group of Christians in the town of Ephesus. When he first met them, they had no hope. They had no peace. They had no everlasting joy. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, he describes them as dead in your transgressions and sins. But then they meet Jesus. And just a few verses later in Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5, Paul triumphantly declares to them, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. For it is by grace you have been saved. There is nothing that you or I can do to deserve God's love. But because he's a God of love, he shows his grace to us. He steps into our world. And in Jesus, he goes to the cross for you and for me. We do not deserve any of this, like shepherds. Yesterday was the 37th anniversary of my coming to faith in Jesus. I will never forget that day in 1981. I'm one of these people that can name the time and the place. For some of us, we kind of drift into God's kingdom. And that's great. The point is where we get there. But I'm one who can name the time and the place. So at 12:15, on a Tuesday afternoon, it might even have been a damp Tuesday afternoon, in a Russian lesson, a Russian class in high school, the Spirit of God reached into the heart of a naive young man of just 16 years old. Through the witness of that Russian teacher, I was overcome by the grace of God. I can picture it right now in my mind. Jesus died for me. In the announcement to the shepherds, Jesus has been born to them, to you, the angel says. Their story, God coming to them, became my story. Jesus came for me. And it's repeated over and over and over throughout history. I read recently of a young English literature student at the University of Wisconsin in the 1960s. Her name, Mary Ellen Rothrock. I don't think any of us would know her. But the point is this, she entered the university at a time when students were cynical, were without purpose. She was an atheist. But hoping to fill the void in her life, she began practicing transcendental meditation. But whenever she tried to concentrate on her meditation mantra, a recurring thought distracted her. It was a line from Handel's Messiah, the famous oratorio celebrating the birth of Christ. And the line was this, "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed." To this young university student's mind, the music, of course, was thrilling, but it was the words that caught her. The words seemed to come, she says, from beyond. Hallelujah, for the Lord omnipotent reigneth. For unto us a child is born, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. And Mary could not ignore these words. They seemed to her, this university student, like a personal invitation from a personal God. And not long after she heard the gospel, she heard how she could have a personal relationship with Jesus. And in that moment, the words from Handel's Messiah, taken, of course, from the scriptures, made sense. The God that she hungered for, maybe the God that you this morning are hungering for, the personal God, loved her. And joy flooded her heart. This is where Christmas joy truly begins. As we search for joy this season, this is where it begins. When this story of God's love becomes our story of God's love. Jesus came for you. Jesus died for you. Jesus conquered death for you. Jesus is coming back for you. That feeling I trust you have in your heart right now is that desire to leap for joy. Feel free to leap. Feel free to leap. Feel free to leap.
Yeah.
Thank you. The rest of you are all doing it in your mind, weren't you? I know that, yes. You know, Christmas is a season of joy. Not a joy that finds satisfaction in presents or turkey or decorations, but real joy. The joy that Jesus brings. We know this joy as we tell others about Jesus, the greatest news ever. We know this joy as we step forward in obedience. Whatever God is calling you or me to do in this next season of our Christian life, two words from the Lord for you this morning. Do it. Do it. And we know this joy because God's love is for everyone, including smelly shepherds, a young teenager in a high school Russian class, a woman haunted by the words of Handel's Messiah, and you. Say yes to Jesus this Christmas, and may the joy of the Lord be with you today, this Christmas, and into 2019. Amen. We're going to stand and sing a hymn, and Angels from the Realms of Glory. And once we have sung that, if you want to be prayed for or you know someone that you want to pray for, then please come to the front. There are those here who will gladly pray with you. But let's sing this wonderful hymn, Angels from the Realms of Glory.